Okay, I've passed out the outline. We're beginning a new series. We're going to be looking into the book of Acts. And tonight I'm going to give a little bit of an overview, and we might get into some of the discussion, but usually the first night it takes me a little while to set it up and kind of see where we're headed with this. But I wanted to share some of the outline with you. I wrote a few things down in somewhat of a different format than I usually do, a little bit more facts and some information for you. But I do believe the book of Acts is a very important book for us to study in the church. I believe that there's so much for us to gain understanding the beginning of the church, the New Testament church, understanding where the power of that church comes from. And the ministry of the Lord was still in the book of Acts. And we're going to look at some things tonight. The accredited writer mentioned is Luke. We also credit Luke to writing the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, he was writing a letter to Theophilus. And mentioned again, if you open your Bibles, you can find there in Acts. We'll just begin there in Acts chapter 1, doing some references. You might wonder, you know, well, why take time to learn some of the history? There's a lot of wealth and understanding in knowing some of the history behind when and where and who it was that wrote, and it puts things accurately. And just it builds. But let me read Acts chapter 1, just the first three verses. It says, "The former trustees I've made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." It begins talking to us about the resurrection life of Jesus within the first three verses. This part of the ministry of the Lord is after he had been to the cross, he'd been to the tomb, and he had been raised from the dead. He spent about 40 days on earth, risen and living, and he did many more things with the disciples. And we're going to pick up and begin to go through the book of Acts and begin to discuss some of these things. Something that you can go back and read. If you go back into the book of Luke, you'll find out in that writing it was about the earthly ministries of Jesus prior to resurrection. Of course, there was prophetic word given that he was going to the cross, and we know that it was leading up to that. But Luke focused on the things that Jesus was doing in his earthly ministry, the book of Luke. But in the book of Acts, it's about the witness of the resurrection of Jesus and then the Holy Spirit for the church, the power. So these are some things to think about while we study the book of Acts. Another notation that I wanted you to get a hold of is the book of Acts began in Jerusalem. It started with the disciples where they were huddled in a room on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came upon them and authored them to be his witnesses. See, it's the Holy Spirit power that projects us out to be witnesses, just as it was so among the original apostles. Then the rest of Acts describes this ripple effect of this great event, which is the birth and the spreading of the gospel. The full gospel is now ready to be preached. The full gospel, meaning the birth, the ministry of Jesus, the death, the burial and resurrection. From the book of Acts on, The full gospel message had been witnessed, and that ministry had been fulfilled. And so this is an important part for us to understand that we're in this same church age as the beginning of what happened in the book of Acts. Two predominant leaders in the book of Acts, Peter, one of the original disciples, one of the apostles that led forth the ministry. Peter primarily ministered and witnessed to the Jews. His ministry was unto the Jews, first in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Then in the book of Acts, we began to find Saul's conversion, who becomes Paul. And Paul begins to carry the gospel and becomes the main thrust of getting the gospel into the Gentiles, which would be non-Jews, and starting this process of going into the uttermost parts of the world. Paul was used of God to come back and introduce the mystery in Christ Jesus, being revealed that it is for all nations, every tribe, every tongue. And the Holy Spirit confirmed it, and the full gospel message began to travel to all people. But you can see in the book of Acts that Peter was one of God's strong leaders, as well as Paul. The little bit of history that I looked up this afternoon, from Jerusalem to Rome, approximately 1,400 miles. Traveling in the ways that they traveled and knowing that they would spend certain amounts of time in different traveling points, it was less than 35 years for the gospel to travel from Jerusalem to Rome. That's 1,400 miles. Just in comparison to today, I wanted to give you some mileage to travel around the world, starting at one point and returning back to that same point, 24,902 miles. So if you take the same method of traveling as the apostles, using the average of 35 years based at 1,400 miles, it would take about 700 years for the gospel to travel over 24,000 miles. But then if you go back and mark the time that Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected, it's been said now 2,000 years have gone by. So the only thing that I'm bringing out into these numbers is it possible that this gospel has already reached around the world, which is one of the things that the scripture says needs to happen before the return of our Lord and Savior. Just something to think about. You can do your own research and study on that. I'm not trying to draw anything else out of that. Just thought it'd be interesting. Here are some things that I want us to be talking about in the first part of the study. There's a book of records in heaven. The Bible talks to us about word and deed. And there's a statement that's found in Scripture that should be the one statement that we all want to be able to hear someday. It's the well done. Well done statement. If the book of Acts was the beginning, Jerusalem was the outpouring place of the Holy Spirit, the charge and instructions by the Lord upon the apostles was to preach the word of Jesus Christ, send it out through the world, and then through the Great Commission, we've been told, go ye into all the world to make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We ought to spend some of our time realizing that the Bible is very true, and that if there was a beginning, of the church ministry. There will be a conclusion of the church ministry. And if the apostles saw the introduction of spreading this gospel, and we took a calculator tonight and calculated exactly to the day where we are on the dateline today, we have now been over 2,000 years into the ministry of the church. There is going to be a time of fulfillment. When the church ministry will have finished, and the call for each and every soul to be received into the kingdom of glory, that call will no longer be shared any longer. So one of the things I want us to understand about the book of Acts, the book of Acts itself implies and suggests things happen. It wasn't the book of the sit still. It wasn't the book of the forgotten. It wasn't the book of we'll get to it later. It was the book of Acts. Many things happened over and over and over through the book of Acts. If you could say in terms of movies, the book of Acts is an action movie. And things are happening in major developments and big events, lots of power, and something was changing in the world as the gospel was beginning to be shared. You and I tonight need to know that we have a part of moving this gospel forward. If there would be something of a spirit of urgency upon us to know that the end is coming close, then it should prompt us to be ready to be involved in acts of the church of the living God. Not works, but acts. The book of Acts is accredited to the Holy Spirit power. The very first principal thing of the apostles' instructions of the Lord after he was ascending into the heavens, go tarry here. That place was Jerusalem. The upper room is what we refer to it as the place of waiting. They came together in a unified purpose, meaning nobody was leaving until what the promise of the Lord was came upon them. They were there with a purpose. If they had jobs, their jobs were stopped. If they had traveling appointments, the traveling appointments stopped. If they had scheduled vacation, vacation was canceled. If they had other things to do at home, they did not go home. They stayed together in the upper room for the purpose of receiving the power of the Holy Spirit that was promised upon them. Let's talk about this book of records in heaven. Someone look up Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Someone else look up Psalms 69, verse 28. And somebody find Daniel chapter 12 and just be ready to read starting at verse 1. When you find one of those, just let me know. You can slip your hand up. If you find Revelation 20, verse 12, just slip your hand up. Okay. I'll get you next. Dee, why don't you go ahead and look up Psalm 69:28? Your hand was next, but Brother Rob, read Revelation 20:12.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works.
Go ahead and read it again, please.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works.
Psalm 69, verse 28. I'll have Dee read it first, and then I want someone else to reread it again.
Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous.
Who else has Psalm 69, 28?
Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous.
Okay, I'm going to take somebody that's went to Daniel chapter 12. Glenda, read it, and I'll stop you at a certain point. Start with verse 1.
And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
Okay, stop right there. Okay, somebody else that has Daniel chapter 12, go ahead and read verses 1, 2, and 3 again.
And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
Daniel chapter 12 gives a clear indication that there is a book in heaven. There is a distinction between some that are going to be found into everlasting life and some that are going to be found to shame and everlasting contempt. Some people do not believe that there will be a separation from God in heaven. But there is no shame in heaven. There is no contempt in heaven. So if you end up being one of them that is found at the time that the book is opened to be on the shame list or the everlasting contentment list, you are going to forever at that moment be separated from everlasting life in the kingdom of heaven. There is a separation. So we need to know that there's a difference between being able to be eternally in heaven or eternally separated. The other thing I want to bring out, so we know there's a book. We also know from Daniel there's a time. There's a special selected time of the Lord that will be upon the earth that has never been. And it will be a time of trouble. Daniel is a book of prophetic timing. When it gets to the point that the nations have never been before, and this terrible time, God's going to intervene and step in. We have to pay attention to the books in heaven. We have to understand that there is a call upon the spirit of man to be actively involved in the church. Here in Daniel chapter 12, there's a scripture verse that referenced within the first three verses. Ones that will be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. The wise are the ones who take Jesus, receive him, live for him. And they that turn many to righteousness, that is the workers of the church, the ministry of the church, as the stars forever and ever. There is a prophecy that reaches out to the end, that the Church of Acts still continues today. A call. Things will be recorded in heaven. This is verification in Daniel that God understands those that are His laborers. God knows who they are. We're not talking tonight about works and gold stars. We're talking about acts of righteousness powered by the Holy Spirit, engaging in the ministry and working of the church as they did in the book of Acts. The first thing that we need to understand tonight is there is a book. Revelations 20 verifies there is a book. Psalm 69 verse 28 talks about a name not being blotted out, meaning it's possible that names could be blotted out of this book. This is not what we want. I read something today that I hadn't really thought of before, and I'll just give it to you. You can take it for what it's worth. Knowing that Jesus was before the foundations of the world, what I read this afternoon was, according to the book of life, every name, even before the foundations of the world, was already put in that book. And it's not so much the way that we think of it when you get saved, your name gets added. It's really the other situation where your name's really already been added, but how you live your life, if you're a receiver, if you're an acceptor of Jesus, it remains. But if you choose not Jesus and you choose not the things of God, then it's possible that your name be blotted from the book. So that's just another perspective. You can take that, study on that, look in your own terms. To me, the way I've always known it before was once you become saved, your name is added to the Lamb's Book of Life. But whether it was added or whether it's always been there, and because I've made Jesus my Lord and Savior, it remains there. The point is there's a book, there's a record where your name is found. In the research that I was looking at today, I believe it was the place of Syria that they recorded names of everybody that was born and lives were recorded. But if you became a criminal, then of the city of Samaria, your name was removed. So whether you lived there all your life or not, once you became a criminal, your name was removed from the book of that city. And that's some of the connections of the thoughts that I was reading this afternoon. What about this book? If we know tonight to be true that there's a book in heaven that needs to have your name in it, should we not be ready to face the understanding that if it's about me, then I need to pay attention to it? I mean, we need to be very careful today that we're not all lumped up into one group and try to piggyback on each other's relationships and religion and thoughts and studies, because your name and my name is individually written down in this book, which means at some point in your life while you're breathing, you have to decide, how important is my name being in this book? Is it important enough for my name to be in this book that I need to pay attention to how I'm living, to what I'm believing, to what I'm listening to? From drawing out of the book of Acts, I want to think with you tonight about, why did Jesus tell them to stay in the upper room until the power of the Holy Spirit came? Let me ask you this. Is the Holy Spirit limited to only visiting one place? No. So Jesus did not instruct the children of Israel, or the apostles, to stay in the upper room because the Holy Spirit could only go and show up into that upper room. The Holy Spirit has been from the beginning. He was the agent and the person hovering over the face of the earth while it was dark, void, and empty. But there was a reason why the Scripture gave instructions for the apostles to tarry in and stay in this room until power came upon them. Let's open this up into somewhat of news. Living in the day that Jesus was walking the earth, and now he had already been crucified, he'd been buried. About 40 days have gone by. What do you think was the news and attention and information going around in the cities? Jesus died being accused. Jesus died being a blasphemer. That's what they labeled him. And so that rumor spirit of the enemy is running completely loose on the outside. Every possible newspaper, every possible television station, every possible radio station would have been speaking against this Jesus. So Jesus instructs his disciples to a safe place, a tower of refuge, according to Scripture, you and I can go into. There is a period of time. The church is that refuge place for you and I to keep coming back to get away from what's being said on the outside. Just as the church of Acts began to move forward under the power of the Holy Spirit, the church has got to remain faithful to receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's from the power of the Holy Spirit falling that made them able to open up the doors and go back out into the streets. So when we live today this close to the end of the ministry of the church, and we stay out of the church, and we stay out of the tower of refuge place where the Holy Spirit is coming to dwell and minister to us, and we miss out on our protection, and we're just circulating out there among all the lies and rumors that the enemy can stir, how effective then can we see the acts of the gospel continue to go forward like they did in the book of Acts? You can see the weakening of the church when it does not stay in its place for power of the Holy Spirit. The book of records is something that you and I need to take seriously. See, everything that we do, let's look at word or deed now. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. The first three verses I wanted to establish that there is a book of records on you. There is a book of records on me. This isn't in the library. This isn't in mom and dad's collection of good, funny, neat little things you and I have done as we grew up. This isn't from college professors bragging and writing about things that you did in your class. This isn't about your job performance reviews. These are not the books and reports of what's going here naturally, but there is a book of records that's upon you and upon me that does keep the information spiritually of what you and I do. Colossians chapter 3. One of the reasons for getting into the book of Acts and the power of the Holy Spirit is to recall the church back to its original focus, understand where the power comes from, and recognize that the book of records should help us to line ourselves up and be very serious about the day and the time, the hour in which we live. Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatsoever you do in word or deed. The word is the ministry of the gospel. The deeds are those things that you and I do through righteous acts of obedience to the Lord. One place the Bible says, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, then God has recorded that and understood that you served him and you gave a refreshment to someone. The Bible talks to us and tells us that when we visit the sick, when we provide clothing to the naked, when we provide food to the hungry, when we provide comfort to those in prison, Jesus said, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And then in that same passage of Scripture, he tells us that if you've not done it, then you've not done it unto the Lord either. So again, there's places in Scripture that talk to us about the Word. Preach the Word. The Bible says preach the Word in season and out of season. Be instant, in and out, ready at all times to preach and teach and share the Word of God. What is the Word of God? It's the gospel message. All the Bible, Genesis to Revelations, the topical subject is the entire ministry of Jesus. Why was he born? Where did he come from? Why do we need him? How do we come born again? Who is the Holy Spirit? Where is the power from heaven? What is the kingdom of God? Where are we going once that we pass on from this life? Do we have eternal life in us? What are we made up of? Are we just skin and bone? Are we just flesh? Are we just, just a shell of a body? Do we have something in us that lives forever? The answer to that is yes. You have a mind, will, and emotion where all the things in this natural life, your senses are picking up, your touch, your smell, your all the different things, your sight, your hearing, your tasting, all these things are in your mind, will, and emotions, all those types of things. You also have a spirit that lives inside of you where the Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the church of the living God. You have a spirit that lives inside of you. That spirit is dead until it is born again in Christ Jesus. And then you have a soulish part of you, which is that place where the enemy had once visited, and the flesh of man, the skin, the nature of the flesh, where we are tempted and we are tested and we are tried and all these things. But you have an eternal spirit. I have an eternal spirit. It will live on forever somewhere. So we need to know these things. This is the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 12.
For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, goes on and says, every man's work, this is not flesh work. This is not get up and say, I'm going to be a good person today, and just because I want to treat somebody nice. The work that the Bible is referring to is building on the foundation of Jesus. If you're somebody that just has a positive attitude and is bought into all the positives of this life about, you know, just smile and make everybody else smile and just do a good act and, you know, pay it forward and all these kinds of things, they're good to do. There's nothing wrong with doing them. But the Bible speaks more clearly about it has to be a foundation of Christ. If you build on the foundation of Christ, that means the foundation is that purpose that gets you moving and acting. The only reason the disciples moved outside of the upper room is because they built on the foundation of Jesus, and every part of their ministry, every part of Acts was based on the things of God, moving in and through the kingdom, works of heaven, righteousness, works of righteousness. Don't get caught up in trying to just be a good person. There's a lot of people today that think they're a good person and good persons are going to go to heaven. It's not scriptural. It doesn't say anything about good people going to heaven. And as a matter of fact, it doesn't say anything about bad people not going to heaven. It talks about those that receive Jesus and those that deny him. Those that receive mercy and those that reject mercy. Those that accept the blood and those that deny the blood. Those that will take in obedience unto the Spirit of the Lord, and those that are going to be disobedient, those that will obey the commandments of the Word of Life, and those that will turn lawlessness loose in their spirit. These are the separating things. So what's this talking about? Build on the foundation of Jesus. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Listen to the rest. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. What day? The day that the books are being read. The day when you and I and all will have to be before heaven, before God, our Heavenly Father, the judge of all things. There's going to be a day. There's going to be a time of declaration. And it says, it's going to be revealed by fire. How many know that God is referred to in Scripture as fire? He burns things up. He was the one that appeared to Moses in the burning bush. He was the fire called down from heaven by Elijah. And it says, the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. See, we've went to school, and there's some teachers that you can be afraid of because they're going to make sure that they really get into you, that you want to pass their test, or they're really going to be riding you and tell everybody about how horrible of a student you are. There's been teachers like that, and people go to their class afraid to fail. Oh, I better study. I better study. They'll tell their friends, I need to study. I can't go out tonight. I got to study. If man can do that, and the Bible says, why should we be afraid of man? What can man do? Man can only kill the body. But God has the power to send that our soul, our spirit, either into heaven forever or into eternal darkness in what the Bible would refer to as hell. He can punish our very being forever. So if we can get shook up over a professor or a boss that rides us on the job and want to do a good work, if we can get worked up about a school teacher that drove us to be a great student, if we can get worked up because a parent pushed us to be better and better, or a best friend challenged us to do more and do better, and all these things, if we can do that in the natural, when are we going to listen to the Word of God that says there is a book of your life being recorded right now, and one day we're going to have to stand before heaven, before God, and the book is going to be opened on you. What do you want to be found by your name? When is it time to make the decision, I'm ready to go forward in the things of God? When will it be time to pay attention to the Bible study? When will it be time to pay attention to the Sunday school lesson? When will it be time to pay attention to the ministry of music? When will it be time to listen to the Holy Spirit nudge and prompt and gently guide and beg us and plead with us to be in the altars of the Lord? When will it be time for you when you're in your bedroom by yourself trying to decide, what am I going to do with my life? What do I really want to be when I grow up? What are all these things about life? What's the important thing of life? And you put your finger in the Bible and say, hey, there's a book that's being written, filled up with my life in it. And one day God's going to open it up. So we go through tests. The fire's going to reveal great things. But listen to the mercy of God. It says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Church of God, family of Christ Jesus, the righteous works that we do here to one another and for the church, God has rewards in store for us. Don't let the enemy lie to you and say, there's no reason for me to sing in the choir. There's no reason for me to volunteer to be at a church service and do a special thing. There's no reason for me to preach. There's no reason for me to witness. Yes, there is. You are important to the kingdom of God. You're just as important as the opening days of the book of Acts when there was 120 that started in the upper room, and now God has his children wrapped around this globe still saying, let your spirit be powered by the Holy Spirit and keep moving so that there's more and more written about the church and about the faith of God. And he says this, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The good news is God's even got grace over the times we miss being a servant of righteousness and good things under the work of God. You know, we're not going to make it right every time. Don't get caught up in the scripture, then make yourself believe that you're going to be a perfectionist and always do exactly right on the mark. God's made room for us in grace when we've missed it. And if you let the enemy slip in and say, I can never live for God right, I never can get lined up, you're listening to a lie, because Jesus has given us room through grace. He just wants us to understand that there is a book of life. He wants us to understand that he has called the church. He wants us to understand that you and I are part of the church. The gospel's got to go forward. His grace is going to remain. We may lose some of the things that we thought we did for him. And it may turn out that some of the stuff we did was wood, and it got burned up. And some of it was hay, and it got burned up. And some of it was stubble. Sometimes we do it because we want somebody to recognize what a great job we did. Oh, what a powerful singer they are. And brag, 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 brag. Oh, what a great preacher that message was delivered. Oh, you know, all these people that clean the church, how the floors shine and the smell of the church is so wonderful and accolades. If we let pride get in there, it's probably going to get burned up in the work we did. But if we build on the foundation, if you come praising God when you're making cookies for the church, if you come praising God when you pass out water for God, for people in the church, when you keep praising God and doing these things out of a heart that's built on the foundation of Jesus, there's going to be many, 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 many rewards passed out to the saints of God. So I didn't get a touch on well done. Jesus, after he was baptized by John the Baptist, God the Father's voice was heard. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Church, this is it. I want us to get stirred up in the book of Acts by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to keep going in this. But there is a statement that needs to get inside your spirit and burn deep. You and I together need to get in our heart, I want to hear on the day that I stand before God, I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You don't need me to tell you well done. You don't need your parents. It's nice when they do. It's nice when you get that encouragement. But ultimately, we need to hear from God on that day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's stand. I know I gave you a lot. We'll go back and rework on this, and we'll dig in. We've only started the first three verses of Acts, and there's a lot to cover in the book of Acts. We'll stay there as long as God allows us, and we'll dig into the study of the book of Acts together. Lord, thank you tonight. God, make us conscious in our spirit about our life means something. Every day means something. It counts. Help us to build on the foundation of Jesus in our days. But God, should there be days of weakness, when we find ourselves weak and we see in the mirror the flesh showing up, I pray tonight that what will pop back up into the spirit is that God put grace even in the time that we're being tried by fire, on the day we stand before heaven. Even there we may lose some of the works and the rewards, but you said you would spare us. That's how much grace you have on us. God, help us to never turn our backs on this word. Let every man be a liar, but let your word be true. Let every voice be stopped and turned away from our ears, but let your truth prevail. Friends may guide us and lead us in the wrong way. Parents may disappoint us. Children may disappoint us. Pastors may disappoint us. Church buildings and church workers may disappoint us. But God, you are faithful to the end. If we have learned tonight that the beginning of the ministry of the church started with your original apostles, and yet your commission is still forth and going today, how close is the end of the ministry of the church? And is it now time for us to be awake unto the book of Acts and the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might still carry out acts of righteousness in this day? Bless each and every one that's heard the word. Bring us back safely, Father, another time to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.